Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 22. Bandi Akshay Kaitavai Sharyai Garitam Pritim Astita Vibrat Kutumbam Ashuchi Yatayam Dehina. Did I miss something? What was the word? Sorry. Let's do it again. Yatayam asa dehina. Vandyakshay kaita vaishchayar garitam vritam asrita vibrat kutumbam ashuchir yatayam asadehina vanyakshay kaita vaishchayar garitam vritam astita vibrat kutumbam ashuchir yatayam asadehina vanyakshay kaita vaishchayar garitam vritam asita vibrat kundambam ashuchir yatayam asadehina. Please chant. Ladies, please. Anyone else? Bandi Akshay, by unnecessarily arresting someone. Kaitavai, by cheating in gambling or throwing dice. By committing, Charyai, by committing theft. Garhitam, condemned. Vritim, professions. Astita, who has undertaken because of association with the prostitute. Vibrat, maintaining. Kutumbam, his dependent wife and children. Ashuchi, being most sinful. Yatayam, Asha Asa, he gave trouble. Dehina, to other living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. This translation, this fallen Brahmin, Ajamil, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. Please repeat. This fallen Brahmin, Ajamil, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. Purport. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life and which is followed by meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication, one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna. Repeat. If one fully surrenders to Krishna, repeat, if one fully surrenders to Krishna, because none of this is possible unless we fully surrender to Krishna. Since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person. If illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. Sends the purport. Pandyakshai kaitavaish charyar garitam vritim astitu tata vibrat kutumbam ashuchir yatayam asa dehina. This fallen Brahmin, Ajamil, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife. So we have a very interesting situation here, one which is quite common, especially in Kali Yuga, and more especially in today's age, today's time. What I would like to stress, if possible, is, before I do stress anything, I should offer the prayer. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet, and my apologies for not offering this prayer sooner than I did. Continuing, it's a very important problem, and over the years I have seen many devotees, some what we might call ordinary devotees, some devotees with high responsibilities, temple presidents, secretaries, vice presidents, I have seen sannyasis. I have seen gurus. I have seen GBC members. All practicing four regulative principles, coming to the full program in the morning, Mangalarti, Guru Puja, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, able to quote verses very easily. Many even memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And to all intents and purposes, or to all appearances, these persons look very knowledgeable, very wise, and very devoted to Krishna. And yet, in spite of this, many of them, I'm not talking about 2, 3, or 8, or 10, I'm talking many of them, fell from their spiritual path. In spite of the fact they were doing externally, at least, and I emphasize the word externally, everything right. So the problem, we have here is, here we have Ajamil also externally doing everything right. He was a Brahmin. He performed the activities that a Brahmin performs. He was clean. He was respectful to his parents. He treated his wife kindly. He was obedient. He had many good qualities. And yet here, this Brahmin succumbed to the same fall down that many of these other persons I just mentioned succumbed to. And the question we must ask ourselves is why should there be such a fall down if a person is doing chanting 16 rounds, reading the Bhagavatam, doing everything apparently right? How could a person fall down? It seems impossible, and yet it happens. And if we don't answer this question to ourselves, then we may be joining the league of fall downs, or fall downers, whatever you want to call them. It's a question that each and every one has to look into his heart, pray to Krishna for guidance. And to the degree that I'm capable, I will just give my own understanding and realization of this very important point. Because we're here today, we may be gone tomorrow. And it's my desire that everyone should remain here for the rest of their life and go back home, back to Godhead. That's the goal. And the process of doing this is simply serving Krishna, pleasing Him, loving Him, adoring Him, serving His devotees, and helping those who are less advantaged, who don't know anything about this. So it all comes back down to the origin, the reason we're here in the first place. We're all originally Krishna conscious in the eternal world. And at some point, we no longer wanted to do what everyone does in the eternal world, and that is to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna is everyone's tendency in the spiritual world. There are no other tendencies. Everyone is glorifying Krishna, singing His glories, bowing down to Him in the Vaikuntha planets, dancing to His greatness, meditating on His beautiful form, His beautiful face, His curling hair, His smile. Everyone in the spiritual world cannot get enough of Krishna. And the more they get, the more they want, because His beauty is insatiable. No sooner are you satisfied than you become dissatisfied, because the beauty stimulates you, stirs you to want to imbibe more and more of it. It's kind of like honey. You drink a little bit, hey, this is good, this is great, give me some more. So you drink a little more honey. Wow, this is incredible. That's the nature of the consciousness of persons in the spiritual world, the desire to serve. And one can serve by chanting His name, hearing His name, hearing His pastimes, remembering Him. One can be walking a street and remembering Him, serving His lotus feet, praying to Him, offering prayers, worshiping Him, having friendly association with Him, and ultimately offering one's body, one's mind, and one's words to Him, so that there is never a moment, no matter what we may be doing, to the extent that our mind is free while we're doing things, there's never a moment in which we do not want to, in some way, glorify Krishna. This is the nature of love, that you cannot stop, we cannot stop thinking of the beloved. A mother loves her baby, even if she has to go outside to go shopping, leave the child with a babysitter, even while she's out shopping, she's thinking the child is in her heart. She can't forget, because she loves the child. It's an extension of her own body. She loves her body, therefore by extension, she loves her child. It's only natural. So at some point in the spiritual world, we decide that we no longer want to serve Krishna. We have independence. And we can exercise the independence in two ways. We can exercise it in loving service to Krishna, or we can exercise it in loving service to our own senses, mind, and intelligence. It's a choice. When one becomes extremely curious about what it feels like, what does it taste like to be served, to be loved, to be adored, to be glorified, to be honored, what does it taste like? What does it feel like? Krishna gets it. I don't get it. I want it. So this is called a sort of envy. And if one wants it bad enough, Krishna says, okay, I'll give it to you. You got it. Whoosh, down into the material world. This is the world of pleasure and pain. Every pound of pleasure will be counteracted by the same amount of pounds of pain. Unfortunately, if you take 5 pounds of pleasure, the 5 pounds of pain feels like 5,000 pains, 5,000 pounds. That's because when we become addicted or attached to pleasure, when we can't have that, then we become not just disturbed by the pains that we get in our body, but by the fact that we cannot use our senses fully to enjoy pleasure. So we are mentally challenged. We're upset, we're disturbed, there's no pleasure. And it's the nature of the soul to want pleasure. We've come from pleasure, Satchit Ananda is the nature of the soul, and when it's in connection with Krishna, serving Krishna, that Satchit Ananda of the soul, knowledge, eternality and bliss, they're manifest. When we no longer want to serve Krishna, then those qualities of the soul become inactive. The soul virtually, not fully, truly, but virtually dies. In the sense that it's like, I'm sitting here, and if you put a black hood over my face, then all I see is darkness. I don't really see the reality of all of you sitting here. So when we come into this material world, in effect, we've got this black thing over our face, and we're not really seeing reality. And all we're thinking of is ourselves and how we can have some kind of pleasure in spite of the black hood over our face. So the quest is always to enjoy. Enjoy through the tongue, the eyes, the ears, the nose. In some manner or form, we want to enjoy, or through the mind, or through the intelligence. And each time we enjoy, it becomes an asset of our false ego. The false ego is that which tells us, yes, I am this body, and the mind connected with it, and the intelligence. So whatever helps to glorify my body, my mind, and my intelligence, whatever helps to pamper it, whatever helps to stimulate it, whatever helps to praise it, adore it, I feel bigger, I feel greater, I feel grander, I feel wonderful because I am the Lord of all I survey then. Everybody is praising me. I'm better. I'm superior. You're not getting praise. You're not being recognized. I am. So, therefore the soul feels that's its identity. It feels important. And when it gets older, And it starts to lose the praise from others, lose the glorification, lose the honor, you lose the respect. And it begins to shrink. He feels he's unimportant. He has no value. He may start drinking alcohol, taking drugs. I can't stand this. I feel like I'm a nothing. Feeling like you're a nothing is a horrible feeling because it feels like you have no existence. So it was a false existence. An existence made up of what Srila Prabhupada so nicely calls mental concoction. You concoct this. Yes, he praised me for this. He honored me for this. He celebrated my occasion or my birthday for this. Everybody loves me. Everybody adores me. I'm so important. I'm so significant. Just see my opulence. And then, smash, crash, it's over. So one may drink. One may take drugs. One may watch TV all day long. One may do whatever he can to distract himself from this horrible feeling that I'm nothing. I'm unimportant. I have no value. And then if you get put into a nursing home, you see, and you're around all the strangers, all you can do is amuse yourself with bingo all day long. Isn't that a wonderful future to look forward to? Playing 3 to 6 hours of bingo. And then eating some vanilla or chocolate ice cream as your dessert. So, bringing this back, I wasn't just telling this person, just to talk. We come back, so it was due to our desire to live independently of God and all the things that go on in the spiritual world. We wanted to be independent of this. We wanted to exercise that independence. We wanted to taste what it's like to be a Lord and not be bound by the activities of the spiritual world. We wanted to taste what it's like to be revered, served, glorified, adored. So we're here. Now we come back to Ajamil. Ajamil is a Brahmin. He knows the purpose of life. He knows the purpose of life is to serve the Lord, to adore the Lord, to think of God all the time. And he, as a Brahmin, he has a regimen. From the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes to sleep, he's doing Brahminical activities. He's regimented. He's disciplined. He's focused. But as I said, there's a streak in each and every one of us to rebel and to manifest this false independence. It's in all of us. And so one day he was walking, and he had a wife too. One day he was walking through the woods gathering fruits. Excuse me. And he saw this low-class man embracing a prostitute. And they were laughing and giggling and joking. And he looked at this. Now he knew from the scriptures, you don't meditate on that. That's not what a Brahmin meditates on. He hits the road, Jack, real fast. He leaves. He goes. This is not for my eyes. Otherwise, I'll be doing the same thing soon. He knows this. But he stayed and watched. And he looked. And he gazed. And he gaped. And he couldn't take his eyes off this sight. Why? He knew it was wrong. We knew it was wrong when we were in the spiritual world to want to live independent of Krishna, but we were so curious. And we wanted to feel a sense of independence from God, because the soul by nature is independent. Why? Because it's part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, who is supremely independent. We are minutely independent. So we want to feel, when we manifest or express independence, we want to feel freedom. Actually, we had freedom. Freedom from lust and anger and greed and envy and illusion and all those wonderful goodies. We were freed from all of that in the spiritual world. But all we wanted to do is taste what it's like to be, to taste what it's like to be glorified and honored and served. So Ajamil is in a rather similar situation. He spends his life in a very regimented, disciplined life, and suddenly he sees this prostitute and this sudra, and they're laughing, and he can't take his eyes off them, because at this moment, he wants to rebel, just as we all rebelled and came here. He wants to rebel against his regimen. He wants to feel false freedom. False freedom means I look at this prostitute. I enjoy watching them. I'm going beyond the bounds of my regimented life. And I feel a false sense of freedom. A false sense of pleasure. So he leaves that area, but he can't get his mind off it. And he wants to have union with that prostitute, in spite of the fact that he has a wife. Now, why in the world would he want to have union with a prostitute when he has a wife with whom he can do that? It's rather simple, because the prostitute, they have a whole menu of different types of activities in their sex life. In fact, if you've ever seen some of these movies, prostitutes approaching persons in cars, and the first thing they say, what would you like? They have a batch of different things ready to offer for different prices. So this is called perverse forms of sex. Or on the street, they call it kinky. That's right. It's not a bad word. It's kinky. And when a person wants to rebel and go against the bounds of good behavior, then he seeks out the kink or the kinkiness. He wants that because he feels it will give some special excitement that he normally does not have with his wife. Now, this has not just happened to Ajamil. There have been some very prestigious ministers, televangelists. Bob Baker was one. He was found with a prostitute also. Yeah, millions of people watched him on TV. And then there was another one. I'm trying to remember his name. He was even more famous. And some reporters, they followed him. And they found him where he was. And he was with some prostitute. They interviewed the prostitute. And she said, yeah, he's a regular customer of mine. He's had a family, he had a wife, he had children. Why? Because they want this very perverse excitement, which is rebellion. Rebellion against the norm. The same rebellion that we express to get out of the spiritual world. So we have to, at least I know it in myself, I have to guard against this. If I have this streak within me of rebellion, of wanting to, become independent of the mores, independent of the regulations, the rules that I'm following here, it will give me a minute sense of independence because who wants to chant 16 rounds? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to follow a regular principle? Why can't I drink? Why can't I do this? I'm not free. I'm bound. I'm hemmed in by this Hare Krishna movement. I want to get out there and do things and be a normal person. This is the mentality a person falls into. False sense of independence, false sense of freedom. And he feels free only to become miserable. This is what it's all about. Freedom from misery. And if anyone has any doubt about this, just pick up the LA Times down the block and just start looking at the stories. You don't have to go beyond the first page. It's all right there. People suffering in their marriages, people suffering in their jobs, people suffering in their families, people suffering from diseases and disorders that they have. Suffering, suffering, suffering because they want the false sense of freedom. A freedom which is really enslavement. My eyes are enslaved. Look at Ajamil. He became so enslaved. We go back to this verse. He was so enslaved that he was willing to, as it says right here, that he was willing to arrest people, cheat them in gambling, or plundering them, earning his livelihood by stealing. He didn't care. Now, as a Brahmin, he had conscience. Conscience means your sensitivity to other persons, your own sensitivity to other persons' feelings. That's the nature of a Brahmin, of a Vaishnava. He doesn't want to give pain to others because he can feel the pain himself. And therefore, he rather tries to relieve pain and tries to give real pleasure, such as love of Krishna, love of God. So Ajamil was in this same predicament, and he became attached to this prostitute. First he took her in as a servant, then she became his wife, she gave him 10 children, and he was bound, he was forced, he was compelled to go out and do all these nefarious activities just so that he would be sure of getting this kind of sex that he wants from her. Just see the misery of this situation. Just so that he could have this kind of perverse sex. That was his life and soul. And he knew that if he didn't supply her with the necessary ornaments, the rings and the nose rings and the earrings and the bangles and the silk saris and the beautiful shoes and the perfumes and the oils, if he didn't provide her with that, then she would withhold the sex that he so desperately needed, or thought he needed. So what happens here is that he became addicted to her charms. And all his freedom, the real freedom that he had as a Brahmin, was lost. He lost his freedom. He was a slave, her slave. He brought her in as his servant and became her slave. Highly humiliating, very embarrassing, very troubling. So, if we want, now, I mentioned that we have different devotees I've known, sannyasis and gurus and so forth, who fell down. One of the ways in which a person falls down is when we take the activities, such as Ajamil, he was doing, probably doing his brahminical activities, and considering it just a routine, just something that you do, without relishing it, without treasuring it, without cherishing it, without feeling that this is so wonderful that God, Krishna, has given me the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, by practicing these esteemed and very advantageous activities, which will purify my heart more and more and make me a candidate for the spiritual world. He didn't think that. If you're thinking this, if you're thinking how gracious Krishna is, I'm a sinner, I've committed so many so many evils, so many wrongs, and in spite of all my wrongs and my evils, Krishna has led me to this wonderful Hare Krishna movement, and he's given me these incredible books. Srila Prabhupada took so much time and effort and made so many sacrifices just so that I can get back home, back to Godhead, and be free of all my lust and anger and greed and envy and the miseries which come from them. How merciful, how kind, how sweet, how loving. Why me? Millions are out there suffering, but yet somehow I've been chosen, selected to have this. If I have this attitude of, it's an attitude of gratitude. Sorry. If I have this attitude of deep, loving appreciation, if I perform my service as a privilege, not merely as a duty. Anybody can do duty. Everybody out in the world is doing their duties. But this is a privilege. This is an esteemed position. This is something that few people in the whole world have. And we have been kindly, mercifully given it. If we don't take it seriously, if we don't treasure it, if we don't hold it dear to our heart as the most valuable thing in the world, it will be taken from us, just as it was taken from Ajamil, just as it was taken from so many sannyasis and so many gurus and so many GBCs and so many ordinary devotees. It was taken because they took it for granted. They took it as cheap. They took it casually. They didn't really think about it. Didn't feel it was too important. Started going to movies. Starting to take pot two blocks down the street. Yeah, I would see sometimes they take their little joints, they take them out and pass it around. This is unfortunate. Throwbacks to their ape days. The days when we were apes in the material world. And little by little, it grows. First once a week, then twice a week, then calling up the old girlfriends, having a beer. What's a beer? You know, what is one beer going to do? It's not going to hurt me. Buying a lotto ticket for $1. What's this, a $1? But at the end of the year, you're spending $10. At the end of the year, you're having illicit sex at least once a week, if not more. At the end of the year, this is just what Prabhupada is saying here. It's like a contagion. One disease leads to another, and the other one enhances the other, and the next one enhances the other, until you're so sinful, you're so full of filth, so full of contamination, I should say, contamination, that we don't know the forest from the trees, we don't know light from darkness, we think darkness is light, and light is darkness, and we say, I'm wasting my time in this, I'm going to be free, I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to have fun. And they do for a while, and Krishna does allow this to take place, in the hope that they will come back. And he waits and waits, encourages, and then there is misery, one after another. And I've talked to many persons who have come back and how much they regretted this false freedom which gave them so much misery. And how happy they are to get back to be on the path. And some of them, because they're hemmed in with different responsibilities, business and family and so forth, they can't fully release themselves from that. So that one of them I know, he has to wait 5 years before he can come back here. So he's dying, he's eager. He's so anxious to want to get back into devotional service. So let us not have to waste 25 years of our lives out in all kinds of sense gratification as a result of this casual, indifferent, take-it-for-granted mentality towards these wonderful, if you want to call them rituals, chanting Hare Krishna. But it's not just a ritual. It's a way to develop pure love of God. And if we chant with full appreciation, with full gratitude, with full understanding that we are trying to serve Krishna and draw closer to Him in love and devotion by trying to please Him and please His devotees and awaken the blind karmis, if we have the proper attitude, Krishna will always protect us. He guarantees that in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. He's guaranteeing, if you just depend upon me, I will protect you. I'll give you what you need. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. I will take care of you. Abandon all varieties of different religions, dharmas, and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So Krishna gives us a promise. He will protect us. He will guide us. He will direct us. If we continue to remember Him, to depend upon Him, to hold to Him as if He were our only shelter, and stop thinking that all these fallible soldiers out there in the world can somehow help us and save us and uplift us with their false psychologies and false philosophies and false spiritualities. There is one beautiful, lovable Lord, Krishna. He's there. He's in every atom of creation. He's especially manifest in His devotees who express their love to Him. So we should treasure each other's company with great intensity. We should not take it for granted. If we do, we may be removed from the community of devotees. If we take it seriously, Prabhupada uses two words often, seriously and sincerely. You've all seen that those two words appear over and over in the books. So sincerely means from the heart. And seriously means just what it says. Focusing, respecting the acharyas, glorifying them, and living according to the rules they have set up, and never try to be free of those rules because it will lead to true enslavement. Therefore, we have the greatest of opportunities to be more and more Krishna conscious, Srila Prabhupada has given us this great mercy. All the acharyas of the past have given it to us. We should know it every moment, as Srila Prabhupada says, you Western people, you Western boys and girls are not fearful enough of Maya. So we should be afraid of Maya, and that fear should immediately project us to Krishna's lotus feet. Holding on to the lotus feet of Krishna, how can we go wrong? What bad can happen? Because if we are holding on to his feet, then he's holding on to our heart. And he will nourish that heart. He will vitalize that heart. And he will fill that heart with his love forevermore. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions that any of us would like to make? No? Let me off easy today? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.